This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Lather Talk with your hosts, John Shea and Gerard Gustilo.
Before I forget, non-shaving related, but our fellow gamer fans might be happy to know, after I put down Zelda Tears of the Kingdom back in the beginning of August, I've picked it back up, and with Gerard's help, I've kind of acclimated back into Hyrule and that world, and it took a few days, just because, you know, I'm playing like here and there when I can, but I was able to progress. I was, for those who are familiar with the game, I was stuck in the Fire Temple, but I was near the end, so it wasn't that bad. Once I watched like a quick video run through, got that done, and I'm kind of on my merry way. I don't think I'm even halfway through the game yet, but I think we'll finish it this run through, however long it takes.
Do you know how many hours in you are officially?
I can check. I don't know off the top of my head, but if I've only done two temples, that's got to be just under the halfway mark, is my guess.
I mean,
depending.
Like, I think I did. I want to say I did all four. Beautiful. I think I did all four temples in 80 hours, but this is also just like looking around and stuff like that. Yeah. And then I didn't really beat the game until a while. I ended up like just going and doing other quests. So yeah, but nah, you'll be good.
Yeah. I was afraid I'd be so far removed from everything. I'm just like, what is this? And just because it's happened to me with other games, especially I think I've mentioned my love for Japanese RPGs in the past. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you cannot go back to like a half completed Final Fantasy game. You know, I tried like Final Fantasy.
I mean, within a few months though, you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Within, right. But then like a year later, it's like, it's the point of no return, where I love Final Fantasy 3 on the Nintendo DS, but that's one I had to scrap my original game, because it's like, besides the story progression, like each character, I think a party of four, has different, what was it? I think the job system was introduced. So I'm like, for each character, I was like, what was I doing again? And that didn't work out so well. So that's one game where really enjoyed my time. I might have to go back to it one day, but never finished FF3. All right. Well, that's, I just want to touch base with you and the listeners and viewers where I am with Zelda
in the gaming world.
In the gaming world, but I'm back in it. It feels good, and gives me something to look forward to in that story. But here we are, guys. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Lather Talk. We are on episode 69. Nice. We are decked out in our holiday swag.
Mine's a sweater.
Yeah, for audio listeners, we're wearing some festive holiday sweaters here. So thought we'd just get in the mood. I think our backgrounds too. Got some stockings hung up in our house. Gerard's
North
up
Pole.
Gerard's in the North Pole. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's helping out Santa.
There's Santa's workshop. Mm-hmm. And that's the Fortress of Solitude, where Superman is at.
So it is. Watch out for that kryptonite. So yeah, so with holidays here, both Gerard and I celebrate Christmas. So I gotta start off. Favorite Christmas tradition?
So I don't know. I mean, not to say it's a tradition or anything like that. You know, some people are Christmas Day people. Mm-hmm. My family is a Christmas Eve people. We are Christmas Eve people. Mm-hmm. Like Filipinos, I tell people it's the only time you'll see Filipinos early to anything is Christmas, so that they can open their gifts early.
Oh, nice. But
at the same time, we have this tradition that came from the Spanish Noche Buena, which is like good evening or good night. But we essentially like have dinner on Christmas Eve, and then we'll have like second dinner like a little bit later, and we basically
nice.
Eat into midnight, you know, where we open our gifts. Some people like we usually open our gifts a little early and whatnot, but yeah,
that's after, like after dinner and then kind correct. Of just roll into it.
Yeah. And then growing up, my mom worked night shift at the hospital. Mm. So she would go in at 11 and then so she would, you know, she would basically get like, I think she got like double time and a half working on Christmas, you know, working Christmas. So she's like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, like, and then we'll just like open our gifts at like 9 o'clock.
That reminds me, yeah, growing up, we were the same way where my mom and dad would be busy. We had a family wine and liquor store. So the holidays, super busy time. When I was older, I would help out too, you know, with the store, lining the shelves or later on at the register. And it'd be late night. And I think it'd be almost like 11 p.m. or so. And we got home and we'd still be up, especially later on when we're older. So I think between me, my younger sister, and them, I think we just, let's open some presents up and leave some for like, you know, like, and then wake up whenever we wake up in the morning and finish up, have a nice pancake breakfast or something like that. So yeah, so growing up, that's you make a good point. Christmas Eve, a lot of people just based on work and just other factors, you know, might celebrate different times. So yeah, it's good. Now we are Christmas Day stuff because we have... I have, you know, two little ones, so we got Santa to account for.
Oh, very nice.
So we're doing that, but no elf on the shelf. We, you know, F that guy. Not a fan of the elf. I'm sorry. For those of you who do it, bless your heart, because that's more fun for the parents anyway, for the mischief. But like, you've seen the pictures, right? Where it's like, oh no, elf got into the cereals all over the counter. I was like, no. No, who's got to clean that? Who makes the mess and who's got to clean it up?
Oh,
you.
Oh, no. Elf is eating the dog poop again.
I see some creative stuff. You know, again, that's fun, but like not in this house. It's not consistent, but this year we'll have dinner. Christmas, on Christmas Day, we'll have an early dinner with my cousins, aunts and uncles at a Chinese restaurant. So that's new. So we might be making new traditions because like my folks or other my uncles and aunts are getting up there in age, and it's hard to like host 30 people, right? Because now like the kids have kids and there's like, you know, people are like engaged and those, you know, like the next generation family's growing. So we got to find something that's sustainable. So we're trying that out this year. So I'll report back in to how it goes. But I mean, we all love food and the restaurant, it's like, you know, I trust my cousins, like whichever restaurant they choose, it's going to be good.
It's good that you trust them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in the end, you know, like we're both food people.
Yeah.
But it's really about, like, not to sound kind of campy or anything like that, but it's really about the people you're around. You can have really mediocre food, but have a great time with the right people. And you could be miserable at, you know, the best restaurants in the world with the wrong people.
That's absolutely true. So I should say, like, I trust their taste, but it's a bonus on top of getting together. I mean, I truly like watching my kids play with my cousin's kids. That's great. Like that is a gift unto itself, because that's how we were. I grew up with them in New York. Holidays and special occasions, we all see each other. So it's good that they have a little bit of taste of that.
Hey guys, we'll get right back to the episode in just a minute, but I want to take this chance to say thank you to all the Lather Talk patrons out there. I want to let you know that I greatly appreciate your financial support of this podcast and the YouTube channel for helping take care of costs that happen behind the scenes. Thank you so much. If you guys are in a position and want to help out the podcast, please check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/lathertalk. And one last way you can help is share your viewing or listening experience, post up on social media, and we are happy to reshare your post. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and now back to the episode.
I also want to mention that as of this recording, the Lather Talk and A&E collaboration Stateside Sonata is out now on aegrooming.com. And that's, yeah, so you got the soap and the splash ready. By the time this recording comes out, fingers crossed, the razor company will have a shipment too. And I know sometimes that's shipping costs are a little friendlier for international. So I know some folks were waiting on that in case you're in the same boat. They should be getting a shipment. Very happy with how it came out. I believe Gerard, leading up to this recording today, I think you went live, correct, with a shave with it? How did that go? I wasn't able to catch it before we aired.
It's super quick, but no, it's really nice. Used it first go around with the complete set. So I had mentioned that I did use the sample that he had given us in like a pre-production, you know, and stuff like that. But it's really nice, no matter what. It came out really well.
Awesome. Well, Jar doesn't go live often, and this was over on his Instagram account. So the replay is available. Go check him out on Instagram. Hey, Gerard Shaves. All one word.
Yep.
And you can check that out.
I even made a joke. I said, see you in the next live in 2027.
That's how often he goes live. And he's you stay under the radar, but you're there. And, you know, in case listeners ever want to get a hold of you, that's where they can find you. More announcements, Gerard. This is in the future, but Lather Talk Awards voting is open. So the nomination process is closed. Thank you, everyone who submitted their favorites. Again, very informal, but it was a way to kind of at least populate the ballot with some options for those who, you know, I think everyone has their, you know, the parts of the hobby they like. Software, razors, razor blades, brushes, what have you.
Not type necessarily, of alum.
Type of alum. Maybe that might be the one I have to add next year. Ozma, is that your favorite?
It is the only.
The only acceptable answer.
There is no other nominees.
So you know who Gerard's voting for there.
I don't even care. I'm just gonna, if I'm using alum, there's only Ozma.
Okay, there you go. Gerard's endorsement. I've never used any alum, so I don't have a horse in this race. But I've heard good things about Ozma. But anyway, go ahead. Link is in the show notes or the description to vote. Voting will be open until, you know, I don't have a calendar in front of me, but it's going to be open until the day that we record the actual award show. So that's probably like a week and a half into January. So you got some time to vote, but be sure to vote. Make your voice be heard. All right, so that's enough about Lather Talk Awards. The main thing where we want to talk about is just basically take a little walk back in 2023. It's a little bit of a recap. I don't know. I can't believe like the whole, you know, 12 months has passed already, Gerard, like in this time since we had to do this like a year ago. So I'm like, oh, yeah. it's kind of fun, a fun exercise for me, kind of putting together, you know, we was do some show notes, but like, oh, like what were the episodes? What were the actual episodes? So I'm going to bring up those notes so I can see them. Some of the great guests and guest hosts we had this past year included Greg Tardif of Shaving with Greg Tardif, our good friend HD Shaves, Chris from Gentleman's Nod, the entire cast hosts of the Canadian Mafia show.
All of Alberta.
The Great White North. And
Nate, Newfoundland.
Yeah. And we had Nate from BBS Live as a guest host as well. So I want to thank all our guests. Those are some great conversations, and just, you know, friends of the show helping us out. Any highlights from me naming those guests? Any highlights you kind of recall off the top of your head?
I mean, Canadian Mafia Show guys, definitely. That was, I feel like we didn't record that. We survived that. You know? Like, that was just like, yeah. Like, how do you have that? Like, this is just crazy. It was like nine of us. It was like the Brady Bunch.
It was the Brady Bunch, know? Yeah.
It was like Hollywood Squares. That's what we were saying, you know? Greg's always fun. I mean, it's funny because we were talking about a lot of shaving stuff, but we also ended up talking about a lot of like camera film stuff in general, you know? And so
I want to make sure I mention this. Greg is hilarious. He is, his sense of humor is the same as his own channel, except I feel like it's turned up even more. Like he is such a jokester, and he knows this, editing that, like, pauses and just like us regathering ourselves multiple times in that episode, I had to make a lot of cuts. But
he tries to edit out every any video that he does.
Yes,
I should try to remember not to do that so often.
me too. I mean, I try to do as best we can, but sometimes it's like, it's fine. There's some natural pauses, but yeah, we all do it. So anyway, pillar, all that kind of stuff. So I think Greg must know, because yeah, he definitely probably has a lot of editing himself too.
But really, like everyone that we had,
yeah,
it was nice talking with HD, and just. Yeah, just everyone in general, whether it was this year or, you know, all the guests we've had in the past.
Yeah.
I feel it's like very fortunate, you know, to be for even the both of us, you know, like, you know, not to say that we're always, you know, orbiting, you know, the hobby and stuff like that. But people, you know, inherently they trust us, I think, more than anything. And I think that is where, you know, the most value for us comes along. And yeah, it's been a real privilege to just chat with everybody that we've had.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
If you're looking for a cool place to hang out with traditional shaving enthusiasts, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware or software, and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
One thing I shared with Gerard was from our Spotify recap, the most listened to episode this year was When the Thrill is Gone. And yeah, I think there's something, you know, like, it's not meant to be clickbaity, because that's what we actually talk about. And it's something that we have mentioned and have come back to multiple times. But yeah, so that was definitely a topic we visited in different ways, or even just like, if not Thrill is Gone, yes, but also how engaging with the hobby has changed for us. And I think one through line was the people, so like the friends we've made, you know, Gerard and I, we became friends through this hobby, and I have other similar relationships, I think, through that. And I think that's one thing that I might not be chasing the latest and greatest soap or whatever, mm-hmm. but the interactions, you know, I really appreciate and like to keep cultivating that at the very least.
It doesn't surprise me that that was our most popular or listened to episode.
Mm.
I think eventually we all kind of like experience this, you know.
True.
Doesn't matter what hobby it is. You know, you just can't keep on hitting the peak, right?
Yeah,
and eventually. I said it, and it's not like it's like a complete nosedive. But yeah, like I said it at the beginning of the year. I think I said it in that episode.
Yeah.
I'll continue to repeat it now into 2024. That I'm just really enjoying what I have, you know, and, sure. And it's nice just to be able to pick something up, use it, and then just, yeah, put it back on the shelf or whatever. I've gotten rid of, you know, quite a bit of stuff. I've sold a bunch of stuff, but yeah, everything I've kept, I'm just really enjoying, you know, using it. And when it's gone, it's gone. I'm not going to buy a replacement tub. Some stuff you can't buy a replacement tub, right?
Right. Right.
But that's how it is. And I'm fine with that. I'm very content with that.
Yeah. That's a very good place to be in. The thrill is gone, most listened to episode, and also one that I think brought a lot of good conversation was artists and closings, because that kind of just, you know, that's the things in the real world economy, just things, how things are globally, you know, geopolitical, whatnot. I think there were like at one point I was just trying to keep a tab on other closings that happened after that episode aired. I think there's maybe like 5 or 6, if my memory serves me right. So not too many more, but I feel like on the Discord in particular, we had some good conversations, and that a lot that we listed that episode were already kind of winding down. So it wasn't, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like for the most part, nothing was a huge, huge surprise just based on like, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, I hear where you were going with it, that a lot of people had already slowed down. They weren't posting as much on their social medias.
Yeah.
There were no seasonal drops or releases announced. And so we're all wondering like, what's going on? Anything going on? And then sure enough, it's just, you know, this train has come to the end of the line or whatever, you know, what it was. And it's unfortunate, you know, like some of these people were, you know, just mainstays in the hobby. But mm-hmm. at the same time, guess what? And, you know, people are going to start popping up. Just new people are going to start popping up. And that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a natural life cycle to it. And also too, some of the artisans and brands that have stuck through it, a lot of them we came to realize were full time. So kind of, you know, they've invested more into it so that they can weather a recession, or they have a long-term plan. So even I'm thinking, you know, Ariana and Evans, it just keeps expanding. I know Heather over Zingari Man, same thing, looking for more channels, international distribution, what other countries can make it available. And it's great to hear how they're growing, you know, Barrister and Man and some other folks, just off the top of my head. They've been around for a number of years, and I don't see them stopping anytime. And they've kind of got a certain rhythm down, right? It's not like frantic, but it's regular, kind of like you're saying, whether it's seasonals, whether it's just, if things are spaced out and planned out.
Yeah. I mean, it is not easy to do this as a full-time gig.
Yeah.
Going from part-time, you know, or side hustle to full-time is, you know, terrifying. There's so many extra things that you have to, you know, be accounting for now. And it's not just employing yourself, especially as you grow. Now you have other people that are that you're responsible for. And, you know, you got to continue going out there and just continue doing everything.
Yeah. Still, like, I don't want to downplay that, like, your favorite, you know, our favorite artisan or even like friends within the community that closed up shop, it's still sad. And I you know, definitely like mourn that closing. But a lot of times too, I think they had family obligations or just the next thing to move on to. So I think I try to view it, you know, in a positive light. So that was the recap, year in review. And I also want to touch upon, what do we want to see in 2024?
And more live shaves.
More live shaves.
More live shaves in the shower.
Ooh. This one might be a little, I do want, you know, I'll put the caveat, this is a little tricky because, you know, Gerard is expecting baby number two early, just within a few months, right?
Like, yeah,
February. So I asked this question knowing there's a lot to figure out just as far as like availability and whatnot, but just putting that, you can factor that in, or even if you want to put that aside, is there anything for Lather Talk that you want to see in 2024?
Face to face again.
I approve of that. Okay. Yeah, we weren't able to. It'd be great to actually, like, besides meeting in person, to record an episode in person, because I think that has a totally different dynamic. You know, I mean, I think it's just an enhanced, improved version of what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I like that. We can put that on the vision board, like an in person, another in person meeting, and possible recording opportunity if possible. Like, we both have families, we know it's.
I mean, we are the number twos in our own homes.
I'm kind of thinking of it too right now. I'm just like, what are good things we could tackle while we're recording? What could we see in 2024?
I mean, we did a collab, you know, last year. We did this one as late as it is, you know, it dropped in 2023.
Yeah.
Is that something that people like are really like looking for? Are they looking, you know, for us to collaborate, you know, with other artisans? And but at the same time, I feel like this time around, it was definitely, the tone was just more casual. Mm-hmm. You know, with this, you know, like voices, you know, being like a very serious, I'm not saying that this, we didn't put as much, you know, effort into this, like we did, like we, you know, like we had a few samples and stuff like that until we feel like, you know, it really was done right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe just doing a creative collaboration with a different, you know, different soap maker, different artisan. And yeah, what's the tone of it? You know, like I said, last year Voices was very serious. You know, it was, I coined the term love letter, you know, to the community in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was very much a different kind of invitation, you know, just to, you know, bring you, you know, take a part of us to wherever you're at, you know. And again, maybe next year we'll have a different creative, you know, pursuits and lofty goals in mind. Who knows?
Yeah. I think that's, and I like that you put it out to the listeners and viewers. Like, I know there's a lot of, for people who are on top of all the soap releases, software releases, if you guys are interested in seeing another collaboration from Lather Talk,
Arco 2024 collaboration. Let's do it. Arco.
Yes.
Arco, the one everyone's been asking for. Arco X Lather Talk. Let's do it.
Yes. Unless you're asking for like an Arco dupe, because you know that's also very, very in demand. That sweet scent of urinal puck. Yeah. But
we
yeah.
Just pissed off a bunch of people. All four people that love Arco.
I have 3 cases of Arco stockpiled. I'll never run out. Like, cool, bro. Williams also.
I was going to say it doesn't beat Williams Mug Soap. Rest yeah. in peace. You know,
people hoarded
Gary Thaw. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. People get into all sorts of things. So, yeah. You know, as far as like kind of working in like what we did for the recap, having another round table, like maybe 9 might be too many, but some number between 2 and 9, I think could work really well, you know?
Maybe between 6 and 9, in commemoration of today's episode. Yeah, that would be good. That'd be a very nice collaboration roundtable to do.
That would be nice. Yeah. Totally doable too. So, I think another roundtable type thing where we're still leaning into some sort of topic or topics and able to go around like that. That was fun to do. And it's also kind of very, it just flows very well. Yeah.
We'll do it like the Illuminati from Doctor Strange / Marvel.
High seated.
Yeah. The Black Bolt. Was it?
Xavier.
Xavier, Black Bolt, Captain Carter.
Yep. Oh yeah, that's right. That scene was such a waste, dude. That just,
you know what? No, it was done because you had to show off how powerful Wanda was. And yeah. she clapped them, you know. And I'm gonna tell everyone right now. She did, okay. Yeah. There's, you know, when she did that thing with Black Bolt where she had him like close his mouth and he just
spoiler.
It's been a year. I don't care.
Okay.
No one. Sorry, you know, but yeah, there's that scene where, you know, Black Bolt's about to like scream at her, you know, to take her out, and she closes his mouth and he literally like blows up his own head, you know, because like that, guess what? It's because Black Bolt sucks. That's what he does. He's never been good. He's been awful this whole time. I am not a Black Bolt fan of Black Bolt. Terrible seat. The only thing that was a waste was the fact that he was on the council for the Illuminati. Okay.
I will say in the comics, I think they did better, but
no, he sucks in the comics too. He's awful. He is like, come on. No, he's just a waste of space. You're telling me you're going to have
no.
Professor X, Reed Richards, yeah. You know, Iron Man was supposed to be there.
Iron Man supposed, yeah.
You know,
Namor was supposed to be there too. But
Namor was, you know, and stuff
that.
You're going to save a spot for Black Bolt? No, he's awful. He sucks. He's garbage. Nothing gained.
I've mentioned random comic book knowledge just lives in my head rent free. So Black Bolt's character, you know, comic book character, did inspire Gene Simmons of Kiss, his original costume, because he was a big comic book dork. And Black Bolt, we wouldn't have necessarily the Kiss that we know today if Gene Simmons did not see Black Bolt. Granted,
Gene Simmons has a better superpower than Black Bolt, because Black Bolt is just hot trash. All right.
Wow.
Knight in Satan's service forever, baby. But forget Black Bolt. Just never, okay. Never bring him back.
Never.
Black Bolt sucks so bad that Marvel had to buy Fox and the rights back to the X-Men, because he didn't make them a dime ever. He didn't draw a single dime.
This was a bad idea.
This is a great idea.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, trying to make, like, it's like, stop trying to make Inhumans work kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
100%.
That kind of goes double for the Eternals, although I like them a little bit better. But they were trying to do that, too. Like, Come on, guys.
Eternals 100% more interesting than Black Bolt. At least Eternals can talk. You want to know how much his character sucks? He didn't even get a speaking role in his debut in the MCU.
That's true. Like, at the heart of that character, like, he just has to whisper, right? And it's supposed to be like
this. Yeah, you'll die.
You'll die. Yeah, which is like cool in a non-film way, right? Because, like, I don't know.
He's never gonna be the person. Like, what are you gonna do with him?
He doesn't translate well on screen.
What are you gonna? I can't
disagree with that. Did you finish Loki season 2?
I did. Beautiful.
Did you like it? Okay.
I loved it.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I also thoroughly enjoyed it. Best TV series?
Best Disney Plus series, like in Marvel? No, easily.
Yeah, Marvel.
Easily.
So I've heard some people like season 1 better than 2. I like both as a whole, collectively. Different. Like, they work. Yeah.
Absolutely different circumstances, but you know if you're a comic book fan, if you're a fan of the MCU, you've been waiting for someone to hit the reset button like this on it, right?
Yes.
Because I think someone said it though, because basically before Disney Plus, right, with just the MCU in the movies, and that was pretty much it. Okay, we don't include the Netflix stuff because not even Marvel acknowledges that the next Netflix series happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say, we'll just say, for example, all of them, it was about 20 movies, right? It was like 20, 21 movies.
Yeah.
If you're averaging 2 hours, 2.5 hours per movie, right? Mm-hmm. That's anywhere between 40 to like 60 hours worth of movies, right? Worth of content. Right? And this is between Iron Man 1, 2, 3, 4, the Guardians, everything, right? Captain America, etc. And it was 60 hours, right? The when Disney Plus launched, they hit 60 hours within like the first year.
Oh, wow.
So 10 years worth of movies, they did that in content. Because each like Loki was at 6 episodes, WandaVision, 6 episodes. Then you have What If, then you had Miss Marvel, then you have Hawkeye, then you have Moon Knight, then you have
WandaVision. That's another contender.
I mentioned WandaVision.
A solid show.
Yeah. What is it? Falcon Winter Soldier, Captain America, right. And then
Moon Knight.
Yeah, I mentioned Moon Knight,
like all of them. Sorry.
Yeah, like, so each of those being at around maybe 6 episodes per little thing, that's like 7 shows. We're already at 42 hours.
Yeah.
So that's not even including the movies. So people have gotten like fatigued, from watching these shows.
Yeah.
So quickly. And that was something that they did. Their pacing was so good, in the first 10 years of the MCU. But it's like, we got to make money, we got to just release it, screw it. We'll release it live. We'll do it live.
Or just push it through with limited CGI budget, right? Or not
exactly. Even
that limited.
You want to know something else? You want to know what scene had the lowest CGI budget in the whole MCU?
The movie, or you mean TV show?
Yeah, we'll see, like in the whole thing.
Was it Ant-Man that got shafted or no?
In terms of the budget? No.
Kang.
It was the scene with Black Bolt, because they didn't want to use any money for Black Bolt because he sucks.
Oh, I see. no.
I just don't see the point of it. Like,
I don't blame. As big a comic fan, I can't argue.
I almost feel bad for him that he exists, because he is just not, there's like, I don't know. I just don't see it.
It's okay. Neither do they. He's gone. He's not coming back. No,
in that universe.
I don't think we're going to see any variants. He's not going to show up in features. I think they just want to go past that. all that, leave all that mess behind, but
we'll see.
Yeah, it is. I do wonder. Well, yeah, what's the next like it thing as far as an entertainment goes? Because yeah, obviously, like sequels, like an actual original production is harder and harder to be made, and I don't think that's changing. But then the whole superhero franchise thing was kind of running parallel, like all that.
I mean, like it's definitely gonna. I mean, the peak was probably in, you know, Endgame, Infinity War Endgame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's very few franchises where you can travel with, you know, like with these characters for 10 years. And you and they didn't lose anyone in those 10 years. They were only gaining people.
Yeah.
You know, in those 10 years. And so, you know, you have that payoff. And now you want to try to do it, but like I said, you know, in 10 years, 50 hours worth of movies, and then in a year and a half, they did 50 hours worth of content. And you just can't expect that same type of commitment from people. You know?
Absolutely.
It's easy to give Marvel 2.5 hours of our time for 3 movies a year. That is doable.
Yeah.
You know, but it's fine.
Well, personally, because I enjoy that universe of stuff, right? And I would like to see it keep going, but I do think quality control or pacing, like you said, you know, I try to stay on top of news where they're trying to slow things down. I think in the next, to try to rework things in the coming year, they're going to make it less interconnected, which I think that mm-hmm. could do them a lot of favors, but also just don't be so aggressive. I think greed has been cited, right? You just throw as much stuff against the wall, see what sticks, make a merchandise for it, and if it works, it works. If not, add it to the trash heap. And I think too many things have been added to the trash heap from the past 3 releases. It's Black Bolt being at the top, taking a good percentage of that.
100%. He is. If they say that this year has been the worst year ever, I will know exactly why.
You know who to point to?
100%.
I'm just, especially looking forward to stuff. I want to see. It was supposed to be this year. I get delayed. The X-Men 97 cartoon, where they're picking up and continuing the animated series.
I'm okay with it. Like, I have no expectations. Why? Because it's been 25 years or, you know,
yeah,
26 years since, you know, that movie or since that series. So take your time, you know, like
don't rush it out.
Just feel free to, you know, just delete any scenes with Black Bolt as any episodes where he is a focal character, you know, focal point as a character. You can just get rid of those arcs. You just take that, you know, take those drawings, throw them right in the trash where they belong. And
that if they ever make a decent Fantastic Four movie, that's where you have to worry about Black Bolt rearing his head, because that's where they come in. That's, you might, if it's successful, you might have to see your boy Black Bolt come back.
Only if he gets yeeted within 30 seconds, you know, that's fine. That's fine.
So I think as we're winding things down, I just want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a very happy and safe New Year from Lather Talk. And we want to thank you guys so much for your support, whether you're a new listener that just jumped on board this year, whether you're an OG and you've been with us for 4 years of this nonsense. Four?
Ridiculous.
But ridiculous.
Four years.
But we can't thank you enough. If you've been with us that long, we really appreciate you guys. And glad to know we can accompany you wherever you listen or watch this podcast. Hopefully we can continue to bring topics you enjoy, guests that you enjoy. If you ever have any suggestions, of course, you know, you guys can always reach out to us. Our socials and contacts are all in the show notes and description. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and other places as Latherhug. We mentioned Gerard is over on, I pointed the wrong way. We mentioned Gerard is over on Instagram, Hey Gerard Shaves. And of course, if you ever get lost, just go to lathertalk.com and it'll redirect you to all the right places that you need to go. So anything else you want to add, Gerard, before we hit the road?
Nope. Just thank you, everyone. Just repeating everything. I think I hear someone in the background. And that is probably mine.
That's yours. Okay. Hey, Julian. Well, guys, thank you guys so much. Thanks for sticking us all, you know, with us all the way through this episode, through this year. We'll see you in 2024.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Take care, guys.